Welcome in, ladies and gentlemen, to the Lineup Logic Podcast, the NBA Daily Fantasy Podcast, bringing you lineup construction ideas for the NBA DFS slate to come on FanDuel. I am Sean Kane. I am your host. This is episode 5 of Lineup Logic. I'm super pumped to keep this thing going. I thank you all for listening. As of now, we are only on SoundCloud and Blueberry. We're waiting to get to Stitcher and iTunes shortly. Should happen within the week. And so I appreciate those people who are, you know, taking Twitter and listening to it on SoundCloud. If you do like the show, please retweet, comment, share, say anything. If you do, I will, first of all, be eternally grateful. And two, I will happily throw you a shout out on the show and even more happily, discuss lineups with you on Twitter. You can find me on Twitter at Hey Mr. Kane. It is, HEYMRKANE. It is Monday. Or excuse me, it is Tuesday. I'm still locked into what was going on last night. It is Tuesday, January 10th, the day after the most tilting slate of 2017, and one of the best college football games that I've seen in a very long time. The Jimmy Butler flu game that was not even close to as good as Michael's. Derrick Rose on a missing persons report in New York City, but turns up in Chicago. Late scratch of Derrick Rose absolutely destroyed DFS Twitter. It was insane. It was hilarious. People were out of their mind. Carmelo got kicked out of the game. Kylo Quinn got kicked out of the game. Anthony Davis went for 70 and then left the game. Andrew Bogut got injured by trying to keep up with Karl Anthony Towns. Zach LaVine got injured. And on top of it all, Ricky Rubio, double-double. And then he adds 5 steals and 5 rebounds. First guy to do it since Chris Paul. That makes sense. No, that's definitely Rubio. Yeah, for sure, the Rubio. I'm going to say it once. And I'll never have to say it again. I wish I had started Ron Baker and Ricky Rubio. had to get that off my chest. All right, I'm glad I didn't really play that much money. But tonight's schedule slate, much better, much more normal, much more what we're accustomed to. Great slate, great schedule, some good games. So we are going to preview the night to come in NBA. We'll go over spreads and injury news, followed by a breakdown of players to target on the slate upcoming. Players I absolutely love at the top tier, some mid-tier players who are in good situations, and then, you know, bargain basement value guys. Followed by a conversation with a good friend of mine, great DFS player, Josh Fernandez, came on the show, and we did a segment on DFS theory and GPP lineup construction, and I kid you not, the segment literally could not have come on a better night. It's perfect timing for the topic, so hopefully you can learn something from that. I am first going to give you a brief recap of the previous show's lineup, but it will be quick and it will be painless, I swear. The pod lineups right now are sitting at 4-1 in cash games. You know, that's my mark. 300 plus with, you know, cashing in 50-50s. We're 4-1 this year. Not bad. This was the first loss that we have. All right. One of these nights. Point guard, we had Russell Westbrook and Michael Carter-Williams. Both of them did a good job. They were fine. They both hit 4X, but they were fine. At shooting guard, it was Oladipo and Hield. Oladipo, 4X, barely 4X, maybe closer to 3, 3.5. Buddy Hield crushed for us, felt good about Buddy Hield at 4,100, and he was... Buddy Hield was owned at 32% in some of the tournaments I was in. I was like, this is crazy. This is ridiculous. What kind of slate is this? Buddy Hield gets 32%. Anyway, Jimmy Butler, Hoiberg sent him home. Like, he tried to go, which was a trap. You know, you should have gotten off Jimmy Butler. You should have been scared. I wasn't scared. I thought he had an iron will. He went for 12.9, 10% ownership. Which, God, it would have been nice if he was like, oh, I'm actually fine and crushed, because at 10%, that would have made you a lot of money last night, or decent money. Because 10% was low ownership last night. You know, that's kind of crazy, but it is. Andre Roberson, nice job. He hit value at almost min salary, $3,800. Anthony Davis went for 70, of course. And Nikola Mirotic, also same missing persons report as Derrick Rose. But the problem was that everybody knew exactly where he was. He was sitting in the United Center, and at some times he was even seen on the court with a basketball in his hands. But the man only managed to score 2.2 fantasy points. So big ups to Nikola. I know me and the 20 other percent people who owned Mirotic were going bananas that he had one three-pointer, one rebound, and a turnover. Just insane, man. Hey, I don't know what's wrong with that guy. I don't know what's wrong. He's so much talent. I don't know if it's the system or it's the year or I have no idea. And then Andrew Bogut, you know, this was kind of one of my punt plays. I thought we would be able to squeeze in all the high-priced guys by playing Bogut, and Bogut just absolutely got smoked by Karl Anthony Towns, which, you know, realistically, it would have, you know, all it was pivot off of Jimmy, get to Towns, and you get decent lineup. One of the most insane nights I've ever seen. People winning tournaments with, like, 325. You know, briefly, we got Davis and Russ right. We got, you know, almost everybody else wrong. So what are you going to do? I think, you know, again, like I said, this conversation that I'm having with Josh Fernandez later in the show about how to create lineups that aren't fragile. So this idea of, you know, this lineup was fragile. It had some holes in it. Anti-fragile lineups were, you know, guys who had Brandon Jennings and Ron Baker, guys who saw a negative matchup with Minnesota but started the Wolves anyway. So they're lineups that benefit from shocks. They're lineups that benefit from variance, lineups that predict randomness, and lineups that thrive in a night like last night. So, you know, hopefully you were on some of those guys last night and you know, made some money. I'm sure that made some people, that crazy night probably made some people's seasons, which is awesome. I always love to see people get paid. But let's take a look at tonight. Breaking down the schedule for tonight, we've got some great, great games across the country. We're going to start in Washington, where the Bulls are traveling to see the Wizards. 203 total in this one, and no surprise, Washington favored by 10.5 because Jimmy Butler and D-Wade are both out. Confirmed, not going to play. So, you know, we're rostering Bulls for value, but this is also a possible blowout candidate. So, you know, keep your eye on the Wizards for some great plays, and keep your eye on the Bulls for some good value plays. But should be a lock for the Wizards to take home another victory at home. Boston at Toronto, 218 total in this one. Toronto favored by 4.5. Real good matchup. Eastern Conference. I'm going to be watching this game for sure. This is the one game I really want to watch on the night. I just like both of these teams. I want to see them be competitive and be in the playoffs. Avery Bradley is out for Boston, which makes Marcus Smart the chalk tonight. Definitely people will be on Smart for sure, but I think for me it really gives Isaiah Thomas a big bump, and we'll talk a little bit more about that later. Atlanta at Brooklyn, 213 total in this one. Atlanta favored on the road by 7. No real injury news in this one. Jeremy Lin will be out for Brooklyn still, but I don't care. the only lineup change really is that the Nets may be starting Bojan Bogdanovic, which that's kind of sneaky value. He's at the small forward spot, 4,200 on FD, and he got like 30 some odd minutes, and dude can shoot. So, you know, okay, all right, Bojan, maybe we got a little love for Bogdanovic. All right, Charlotte at Houston, 225 total in this one. No surprise, Houston favored by 9.5 with Nick Batum out of the lineup for the Hornets. It'll be Jeremy Lamb getting the start. He will also be the chalk at 4K. And MKG gets that big usage bump that everybody was predicting as well. Other than that, just some kind of minor injuries to monitor for the Hornets. Cody Zeller and Marco Bellinelli, still kind of nursing injuries. On the Houston side of the ball, Eric Gordon missed shoot around with a toe, which is interesting. That could open up some value in a plus matchup for the shooting guard position at Houston. Eric Gordon, I believe, is listed at shooting guard. I'm not sure who would really fill in there for him. It could be, maybe Ariza just shifts over to the two, and then, maybe you get some Sam Decker in there. I'm not completely sure. I'd be interested to see if Gordon sits, how they play that. It could just mean a massive minutes bump for Harden, but I don't really see D'Antoni doing that just because there's no reason, especially if they're going to win this game. But if they are just kind of adjusting the lineup and not really compensating for Gordon's bench minutes, then Harden, he might get some extra minutes, which may make Harden a lock. Got to keep an eye on that news. Milwaukee at San Antonio, 203 total in this one. Giannis is a game time decision because he's sick. And LaMarcus Aldridge just got ruled out. He's sick. Which gives Kawhi a massive usage bump and also opens up David Lee and David Bertans as values there. So we'll talk a little bit more about this game later. Then you have Cleveland going out to Utah, 201 total in this one. Cleveland favored by 2. Should be a pretty competitive game, or so we think. You always keep an eye on the big three to make sure nobody's resting. And to figure out who's starting at shooting guard for the Cavs, which has been kind of a rotation. We'll see. George Hill is the only other injury on the Utah side. We'll see. Make sure he gets the start. He has been getting the start recently, got back in that rotation, but he could definitely be out tonight. So keep your eyes on the George Hill news. He's a good start at 65K if he 6.5K, excuse me, if he plays. But you want to make sure that there's no setbacks or anything like that. Portland at LA, rematch. These guys played last week, but 223 total in this one in the Staples Center. Pretty much a toss-up. Portland favored by 1.5. Massive total last time. Tons of points on the board. No real injury news to speak of in this one, so definitely a game stat candidate. Miami at Golden State, 219 total in this one, and no surprise, the Warriors are favored by 16 points. Miami's just on a slide, and they're not playing well. Injuries, the injuries are crazy. I got a ton of people questionable but expected to play. James Johnson, Tyler Johnson, Whiteside, Waiters, keep an eye on them. Make sure they're playing tonight. Nobody has any, setbacks if you want to roster any of the Heat. If you want to roster the Heat, I don't really know. No one on the Golden State side is out. Full force Warriors. So good luck, Miami. And then Detroit at Sacramento. Sacramento, this one's almost a wash. Sacramento getting a 2-point, the 2-point favorite, but I don't know if that makes sense. I have no idea how to predict this game. I really can't see anything about that game, except for Drummond versus Cousins. And we'll break down Drummond versus Cousins later in the show. Rudy Gay is the only injury news. He looks like he's going to go, though. He went last game and seems back to normal. So keep an eye on Rudy Gay, but he should be fine. Ty Lawson, same. Went last game, but still, still nursing that injury. So keep an eye on Ty Lawson. That is it for tonight. on the slate. Let's go ahead and let's move on to some high-priced players on tonight's slate who we absolutely love. Who do you love? All right, tonight I think is a great night to spend at a point guard. You can definitely lock and load two high-quality, high-priced point guards. There's a lot of really good options at the top slate. So whoever you pick, I think you should probably pick, you know, two high-priced guys, personally, in cash games. I like playing I don't mind playing high-usage point guards in cash games. You know, lots of touches, safe floor, you know, especially when they're in good matchups. So I like John Wall quite a bit. You're going to hear Josh Fernandez break down John Wall later. He's seeing the Bulls last in DVP versus the point guard. No Butler, no Wade. John Wall should easily hit value tonight. Personally, I prefer Isaiah Thomas. Okay, so let's go through Isaiah. Isaiah averaging 46 FanDuel points in the last five games, 30-point floor for this man, and a 60-point ceiling. Right now, he's priced to hit 44 points. Okay, that should happen given the matchup. You know, Toronto's a fine matchup. Kyle Lowry's a good defender, but, you know, I think he can do work. But it probably he has a you know an opportunity to exceed value because Avery Bradley is out, so he's this massive 1.4% bump in scoring index and a 36% usage rate, which is 3 points higher than his average. Should be a competitive game between him and Lowry. They could literally just trade buckets, and you know you may just want to stack them against each other and go from there. So I love Isaiah Thomas. I like John Wall quite a bit, but I love Isaiah Thomas as well. At shooting guard, it is my man Giannis Antetokounmpo. I know we talk about Giannis all the time, and Josh is going to talk about it more later on the show. Originally, I'm leaning Harden, and I still like Harden quite a bit, especially if Gordon sits. Charlotte is not that good against the shooting guard. Batum is out. But, you know, MKG will probably slide over to guard Harden. The reason I like Giannis is primarily because of the savings. You know, I feel like they're both, Giannis and Harden are both kind of slated for 50 points. But you save $1,600 if you go down to Giannis. You know, and without LaMarcus, the Bucks, I think, have an opportunity to keep it close. And I don't think that's the same in the Charlotte Houston game. It just doesn't seem the same to me. So we're going with Giannis. He's averaging 50 FD points per game. He's averaged 27, 9, and 5 with a block and a steal this year. Competitive matchup against the Spurs. And as long as they can stay in this game, he's going to hit value. He's going to have some quality defense from Kawhi, but, you know, the price is nice. And just the way this guy's playing, there's really no reason to fade him these days. At small forward, Kevin Durant. I love KD. Okay, so, and the reason I love KD, and I love LeBron too, don't get me wrong, but the reason I love KD is this. I'm going to read you the starting five for the Miami Heat. You ready? Let me know who you think can guard Kevin Durant. Goran Dragic, Wayne Ellington, Rodney Magruder, Derek Williams, and Hassan Whiteside. Now, Spoelstra could mix it up. He could throw in the mean stopping machine, Luke Babbitt. For Derek Williams, I'm laughing because there's nobody on the Heat who can stop KD. You know, it's probably going to be Ellington, who's a good defender. He's a solid defender, but he's 6'4". And they have not been able to defend the small forward lately. Against the Lakers, Brandon Ingram and Luol Deng combined for 36 points, 20 rebounds, and 6 assists. They were combined plus 32 on the night. And that's Brandon Ingram and Lu Deng. You know, I mean, those aren't elite small forwards. KD is probably the most elite three in the game. So he's got an average of plus seven on the year. He only needs 50 points to hit 5X tonight. And last season, he averaged 47 FD points against the Heat in two games. I see him as a cash game lock. The only concern I have about Kevin Durant is blowout. You always have that concern with Warriors. But KD, he does hit value most of the time in blowouts anyway. Moving on to power forward. All right. At power forward, it's Paul Millsap. I'm a little bit bummed out. Millsap isn't going to be moved by the trade deadline. Got to be honest with you. A little bit bummed out about that. I would love to see him in Toronto or Portland, somewhere where they need a big to go with those guards. Contender, you know, Atlanta might make the playoffs, but they're not really a contender for moving out of the first round. So, you know, but the Hawks, I guess, put a stop on that after the Korver trade. They said Millsap's not for sale, so. Well, that's all right. So Millsap remains the primary offensive option for the Hawks. In this matchup, we are targeting the Nets, who are the third worst in the league against the power forward, giving up an average of 40 points to the position. And Millsap averages 40 points on the year. He's averaging 21, 8, and 4 with two steals. And he's priced perfectly to hit 5X and get you 40 points. It's just math, guys. It's times tables. It's times tables. 5 times 8, that's 40. And that's Millsap's average. So it's a cash game lock. You know, he doesn't have a ceiling. You're not playing Millsap for his ceiling, but you are playing Millsap for that wonderful 25-point floor. You know, between Millsap and Bradley, or excuse me, not Bradley, between Millsap and Thomas, you have this wonderful floor plays, you know, 25 and 30-point floors. It's just a really good foundation and good, you know, sound cash game lineup construction. So I like Millsap quite a bit. At center, the top price center is Boogie Cousins. Boogie is the stud on the slate, 10-7. And he's, you know, your thought probably is, oh, how does he match up with Drummond? I looked into it. Last year, he averaged 51 FD points in his two matchups against Drummond, actually. So 32 points, 10 and 2 with a steal and a block. That's pretty good for Boogie. It's actually drastically higher than his season. Not drastically in the points category. It's higher than his season averages right now. Drummond is obviously like a physical presence, but you know Boogie is better at home, and he's gotten the best of him before. So you know you don't feel bad about Boogie. The problem I think is Boogie's price. He's gonna need like 54 points to hit value. Against Drummond, you know, and I always like Boogie, but 54 points against Drummond feels like a little bit of a stretch. So he profiles more of a tournament play for me on this slate. You know, there's tons of ways to spend your money at small forward and point guard. You don't have to spend at center if you don't want to. But if you want to, Boogie's your way to go. All right, let's move on to the mid-tier. I call this the fantasy grout. Mid-price guys in the 5 to 8K range that you want to fill in around your other studs. Starting at the point guard position, there's a ton of value in the mid-tier point guard tonight. So, you know, if you want to spend up somewhere else and kind of get a different lineup, because I think people will be on point guards, feel free. One of those guys is Dennis Schroeder. We are targeting Brooklyn, 100%. Jeff Teague put up 55 against Brooklyn last week. Remember that? He was one of our pod lineups. Feeling good about that. Brooklyn is just, they're one of the worst in the league against the point guard. Schroeder has a 28% usage rate. He's averaging 31 FD points in his last five. But this is a chance for him to hit that 45-point ceiling. I looked into what was going on with Schroeder's ceiling, like ceiling games for him over 40 points. He has four of them. Three of them came against plus DVP point guard matchups. One was against the Suns, one was against the Nuggets, and one was against OKC, who at one point or another, if you were paying attention during November and December, were some of the worst teams against the point guard. Denver still is, but still some of the worst teams against the point guard. So it's almost as if Schroeder reads the scouting report and says, oh, this should be a good game for me to score, and then he tries and goes ham. So don't mind Schroeder at 6'9". At shooting guard, it's Klay Thompson. Klay has a 99% consistency rating. His price doesn't change. You notice it's anywhere between 64 and 67. You know, he's got a pretty neutral matchup with Miami. So I dive in a little bit deeper into this skid from Miami because I know they've just been tanking lately. Recently, they're giving up the highest scoring performances to these guys. So listen to this name. Okay, think about what they have in common. Lou Williams, J.J. Redick, Aaron Aflalo, Devin Booker. And for the last five games, the shooting guard, the two-position, three-point shooter, the catch-and-shoot guy, is the guy who's burned the Heat as the top scorer. Williams, Redick, and Booker all went for over 25. Klay just, he profiles is the exact same player as those guys. He's actually probably the best version of that player in the league. You know, that catch and shoot too, that pure shooter. And Miami's given up 107 points in their last five games. So the defense just isn't there. They're not playing the way that they should be playing. And Klay is a great cash game play at 6'4". Moving on to small forward. All right, moving on to small forward. It is Kawhi Leonard. Kawhi Leonard. Now, Kawhi has been frustrating, tilting as of late, but he's got a good matchup tonight. Plus matchup. Bucks are second to last in DVP against the small forward in the last 10 games. Melo put up 55 on him. Last game, Otto Porter stuffed the stat sheet. 13-7-7 with a block and two steals, you know, which that's like a ceiling game for Otto Porter. But I think what I really like is I believe that the Spurs are going to have four quarters. They're going to have to play four quarters. And not kidding, you know, just as I was prepping the pod here right around noon Eastern time, got that notification that Aldridge is out. So LaMarcus Aldridge is out. This is live breaking news. LaMarcus Aldridge, he's sick. It's like a sinus thing. No, I have no idea what's bothering LaMarcus Aldridge. I got to be honest with you. But he's sick, and that means more usage for Leonard. That means that the Bucks will have a better chance of staying in this game. You know, I think, you know, it also opens up David Lee as a value. If you're paying attention, David Lee, and David Bertans. But you know, the reality is that Leonard's production, you're looking at the game logs, you're looking at the trends, production correlates directly to minutes. Okay. So in seven of the nine games where he's had over 40 FD points, he's played 32 minutes. So, okay. 32 minutes. Let's make it a game for three quarters, Milwaukee. You make it a game for three quarters, okay, 75%. You stay in the first half. You just stay in the first half to make Kawhi play starter minutes in the second half. Then Kawhi will go over 40. And he's priced below. You know, he's priced low. He's priced for his floor right now because he's basically been only hitting his floor because they only need him to hit his floor. The reality is I think the Bucks are going to be able to keep it close. I really do. The interior of the Spurs is going to struggle. Monroe is playing well. Giannis is long and young and athletic. And Jabari, same, you know, physical, athletic. You know, who's going to do, I mean, David Lee, God bless him. Paul Gasol, God bless him. But without LaMarcus in the middle, you know, they lose an interior presence. They lose a scoring presence. So Kawhi is going to get above 32 minutes. He's going to hit 40 FD points. And he's a nice price. At power forward, it's Orange Julius Randle. We broke it down last week. Randle is facing Portland. Portland, one of the worst against the power forward. He hit 35 FD points on the nose against them. Perfect 5X. Minute leader on the Lakers. Leads the Lakers in, in rebounds per game, minutes per game, etc. He's at home. Price is reasonable. And the matchup is good. And the team total is huge. That's the highest total on the night, Lakers-Blazers. So you got to love that. And you could even also go across the other side of the ball there. Al-Farouq Aminu is an excellent value at 4,600. Love Aminu. Aminu crushed last time. And actually, he was in one of the pod lineups last time. He was in the pod lineup when we had him against the Lakers, and he put up 32 FD points at a salary of 4,100. So love me some Al-Farouq Aminu, love me some Julius Randle. At center, Dwight Howard, man, D12. Again, guys, there's a trend here. We're targeting the Nets. we're always targeting the Nets. Worst DVP versus the center. Last year against Lopez, Dwight Howard averaged 15 and 13. That's precisely his averages this year. That's 31 FD points or 32 FD points roughly. He's going to hit, though, he's priced right now to hit 35. And he's going to hit 35 FanDuel points. And he has actually, this is an interesting, interesting plus opportunity for him and plus matchups. He does have 9 games this year with 40 or more FD points. So, you're good with Dwight at 7-6. I would be in love with Dwight if he was 7-2. It would be Dwight all day. 7-6, I'm fine with it. I'm happy about it. But I'm not obsessed with that. Price is a little bit more than I want. Than I want to pay, but I'll definitely be playing some Dwight. All right, bargain basement below 4.5 or near 4.5 value plays on the slate. One with the LaMarcus news, it's David Lee and David Bertans. They will probably, my guess would be, they will split some minutes. They'll probably both see about 20 minutes, and they are, they're not. They have no ceiling. But if you need a value, take your pick. Lee will probably get the start. Would be my guess. But Lee, if I remember, Lee was battling an injury, which is what opened up that big Bertans game. Big Bertans had a massive game when the Spurs played the Hornets, I believe. Bertans went off. He had like 20 points or something like that. I'm going to look that up later. I'll tweet out that David Bertans. David Bertans' Twitter will love that. So the reality, David Bertans' Twitter. Where are you, David Bertans' Twitter? Roster the Bulls at will, okay? No Jimmy, no Dwayne. There's a ton of Bulls. I think the thing you have to be careful about is trying to figure out who on the Bulls is going to get the buckets. Okay, McDermott, Mirotić, and Taj will definitely be in the starting lineup. Probably Michael Carter-Williams. And Robin Lopez. But if you want to go deeper to that second level of value. In tournaments, I think I don't cash these guys. I just don't know if you can. But if you want to go deeper into that value, then you've got Jerian Grant, Denzel Valentine, and then the min price delight, Cristiano Feliciano. He actually is getting a lot of minutes, and he's actually splitting time with Robin Lopez, so he should definitely see his minutes there. So he's a nice min price option actually at center if you really want to get down in there. But if that makes you nervous, I get it. But remember, min price players at 35K, they only have to hit, 17 points to hit value. So worth thinking about. Also values, Jeremy Lamb and Michael Gilchrist. MKG is actually priced at 48, so, doesn't qualify as sub 4.5, but Lamb is priced at 4K, starting for Batum again. Not a terrible matchup. He should get the minutes no matter what against Houston. But Lamb is, probably, he will be chalk, no question. He will be the chalk. Not bad chalk at that. I'd eat that chalk, Tasty chalk, Jeremy Lamb. Michael Gilchrist, MKG will probably have to guard Harden, would be my guess. They'll throw him over on Harden. He's a great defender, so, that'll keep him in the game. And if that game stays close, then it's more minutes for MKG. And then you got targeting the Nets. Tim Hardaway Jr. and Ken Bazemore. They're both below 4.5. They're both kind of going to try to get, they're going to both get this minutes bump with no Korver. I mean, Hardaway got over 30 minutes last game out. I love Hardaway. I think Hardaway, I said this the other day is on Twitter, talking to some other DFS guys. Hardaway took Korver's job, to be honest with you. Korver, as much love as we have for Kyle Korver, he's not actually playing the way that he needs to play in order for him to be a viable 20 plus minute option in the NBA. You've got also opposite sides of the ball, shooting guard Alan Crabb and Nick Young, both 41 and 42K, I think. That's my dog. Sorry about that. They're facing off against each other, both getting consistent minutes. They're both hot three-point shooters, great tournament plays, low prices. Feel good about Crabb and Young if you want to save or if you want to pivot off of Jeremy Lamb, either one of those, similarly priced, very good, very good options. Derek Favors, we'll talk a little bit more about him, but priced down again on the power forward slate. He's priced below his normal numbers. He's a regression candidate for sure. Regression candidate for sure at 45K. So if you're like, I don't want to touch Mirotić, I get it. Don't touch Mirotić. Go Favors. Same price. Feel good about that. All right, let's go ahead and let's break down the Lineup Logic podcast lineup for January 10th, this Tuesday night slate. All right, here it is. At point guard, one, we have Isaiah Thomas, 8,900. Point guard two, John Wall at 95. Shooting guard one, it's Klay Thompson at 64. Shooting guard two, it's Jeremy Lamb at 4K. But remember, the Swaggy P and Alan Crabb there, we could play either of those guys, similar prices. At small forward one, it's KD. If you want to pivot over to LeBron, which I will certainly do in some different lineups, you can, similarly priced. Small forward two, it is Kawhi. Power forward, it is Nikola Mirotić. And power forward two, Al-Farouq Aminu. Both of those guys, there is a ton of people priced right in that same range. So, feel pretty comfortable with both of those guys and also making some nice pivots over, Derek Favors, for example, right there. Markieff Morris is pretty close to that price range. We didn't talk about him, but he's there. And then at center, this is my bargain basement, Cristiano Felicio. Let's go Cristiano. I know min price guys make people nervous. It's easy to get off Felicio, though. You can get off John Wall and spend up. You could get off of KD and spend all the way up. It's not hard to get off Felicio and get to Dwight or get to another low-priced option, even Robin Lopez if he makes you more comfortable. All right, so that's it for the lineup. One of the things that I want to do here is bring you guys some guests. And so this is an interview that I recorded with Josh Fernandez last night during that massive tilt during the national championship game. It's about the idea of anti-fragility in GPP lineup construction. So tune in, take a listen, and enjoy. So one of the things that I hope to achieve with the podcast was actually build people into better DFS players, right? Revealing process, principles, DFS theory behind lineup construction. Some of the stuff that sharps know, some of the things that, you know, career players know, but that, you know, regular guys, people who are playing DFS regularly can use constructively. So, you know, my hope is ultimately that people listening feel comfortable drawing their own conclusions, making their own lineups that they're confident in. So that's where today's segment comes in with my friend, Professor Josh Fernandez. Josh, you are a DFS philosopher of sorts. Is that fair?
Yeah, Sean, definitely, man. First of all, I really want to thank you for giving me the opportunity to join you here on Lineup Logic. It's exciting, especially to see how your soon-to-be DFS media empire is growing in such a short amount of time.
Yes, but, yeah, exactly.
I think philosopher is an apt description. You know, I just like to try and think about things when it comes to DFS in a different light, you know, not really lean too heavily on, you know, too many people's opinions on Twitter, not to lean too heavily on, you know, what the blogs say. I like to, you know, think differently, like they say in Silicon Valley. It sounds a little cheesy, but, you know, try and have different ideas for how I can get an edge over the competition.
First rule, break all the rules. yeah, no, but it's true. I mean, you were working, Josh and I met when we were working on the Sleeperbot app, and you had some really good ideas about NFL DFS and lineup construction principles and contrarian picks that you know, can help you land a GPP. So, Josh, taking some of those principles, you know, about GPP lineup construction, how do you apply them to NBA DFS? And more importantly, I guess, how do you approach GPP lineup construction in NBA?
Yeah, Sean. So, I'll start off by saying there's a term that I came across through other fantasy writers, other DFS writers, which then led me to really get down and dive down the rabbit hole and, you know, read the author's work more extensively. But the term is anti-fragility, to make anti-fragile lineups. And if you're asking yourself, what the hell is anti-fragile? Well, first and foremost, the writer, the author that term to is a man named Nassim Nicholas Taleb. And he's a former options trader, now a writer. His areas of interest are randomness, uncertainty, the fact that, you know, in our world, we know very little. He was quoted as saying, don't try to predict the future, just make sure you're prepared for it. Now, that advice sounds really straightforward and really obvious, but if you reflect on your own behaviors as a GPP player, truly reflect on how you construct lineups, I'm pretty confident that the vast majority of players would be as to how in line, in lockstep step they are with the masses.
Right, right. How chalky how chalky your lineups are. And it's, you know, I think really realistically, you know, having a chalky lineup, as we say, or, you know, a high owned lineup, or having highly popular players in your lineup, is really just, you know, because you feel comfortable, right? There's logical, easy decisions to make that don't make you anxious. But the idea of anti-fragility seems like it's a bit the opposite of that. So, I mean, how does anti-fragility apply to like DFS lineup construction?
Mm-hmm. Well, just to quickly define the term, anti-fragility, anti-fragile things, they actually benefit from shocks. They benefit from volatility, randomness, disorder. Every single night, I mean, case in point, tonight, there was a shock. Tonight, January 9th, you had Derrick Rose being announced as out after lineups locked.
Yeah, 7:33.
Predict that.
Yeah.
But it's a completely random event for the vast majority of the fantasy, the DFS community. 30% of people in most tournaments are now completely screwed because of that occurrence. That's something that is completely random. That's volatility right there. If you had an anti-fragile lineup, you know, a lineup that's constructed in a way that benefits from the shocks, that we don't know what they're going to be, but we know they're going to happen, you're sitting pretty right now. You know, things can happen throughout the night, you know, on any given slate that you just simply can't predict. And if you just change the way you think about constructing lineups and focus on doing the best you can to get away from where the masses are going, you know, some may say be a contrarian, you are going to really see a change in how you perform in GPPs over, you know, the next few slates, weeks, months.
Right. And I mean, I guess the core principle there is you're targeting low owned players. So, you know, you have a unique or individual lineup, which, you know, is in a large pool. That's how you win. You know, there's only one person at the top of a lot of these GPPs, and it's because they have a unique lineup. So,
yeah, definitely.
You know, I mean, if you think about that, you know, you think about just the sheer numbers, there's, you know, when you look at the end of the night and you look at those numbers at the top, you know, and you're like, okay, who won $10,000 tonight? You know, it's one guy, and it's because he has a singularly unique lineup. So, dude, I am not kidding you, Josh. My phone is sitting here next to me, okay? And I just got the following three push notifications from Twitter. And you can't plan this. This is literally, we're recording this at 9 o'clock on Monday night. Carmelo Anthony just got ejected. Kylo Quinn just got ejected. And Anthony Davis is headed to the locker room with a hip injury.
Wait. You're telling me that Anthony Davis is heading to the locker room?
No, right?
Are you serious?
Dude.
That's insane. I can't believe
it. Anthony Davis is the definition of fragile. I know, man. I'm so worried about that guy's career in general. Like, he's just going to, like, he's going to Greg Oden us all. And it's going to be like, oh, I miss a Grant Hill, you know, like. Oh no, right. He was so good. What happened?
Yeah.
All right, anyway, all right.
But
so
how can you predict for those ejections? You can't predict for those ejections.
I mean, I guess
for
Carmelo, maybe you can, because this is like the second one this year.
maybe Kylo Quinn was pulling the hockey enforcer role and coming to back up the superstar.
Exactly. I have no idea what happened. I'll absolutely watch the highlights. I'm sure they're somewhere on Twitter. But anyway, all right. So we're targeting low owned players. We're targeting you know, players that may make us uncomfortable, that are contrarian, you know, trying to create that unique lineup. All right. So what are some of the, like, rules or principles that, you know, you go for when you are, you know, looking for some of these players?
Yeah. So rule number one is you got to target upside. You got to target ceiling. You know, we're not looking to make cash lineups here, obviously. You know, we're not looking for the quote unquote safe plays, you know, the guys that'll consistently get you, you know, 30 points a night, you know, at $7,000, you know, at $7,000 FanDuel dollars. you know, we're looking for guys who sometimes are going to get you 50 points at $7,000, and sometimes are going to get you 15 points at $7,000. Now, it's hard to rationalize that line of thinking, but that's the way you have to approach it, because A, those guys, again, are of the potential to give you that 50, 60 point outing. And they're also going to see depressed ownership inherently because of their volatile nature. So right. One of the starting points is just to simply, you know, become familiar with who the highly volatile players are and who the guys are that truly do have that ability to return 40, 50, 60 points from reasonable salaries. You know, and we're not talking James Harden or, you know, Alphabet or, you know, Boogie Cousins. You know, we know that those guys can do that every single night. You know, we're talking about the guys like, you know, Eric Bledsoe, who for whatever reason drops a 60 burger on you. Eric Bledsoe, great player, somewhat inconsistent, but has the potential to have those big games. And I'd be damned if, you know, he consistently is owned more than 15%, 10%.
Yeah.
And you really want to target those high ceiling guys.
And that's interesting, you know, and I think you're the note, like the example of Bledsoe is important, I think, because of, you know, his price. His price is normally somewhere in the 8K range. You know, and at 8K, that's indicative of 40 being a normal floor for him. But if you know, if you look at his game logs or his history, 40 being his median, but if you look at game logs and history, you know that 55 or 60 is possible, which is why he doesn't have a, you know, a price that's super, super low. So I guess what we're looking for, you know, and I'm paraphrasing a little bit here, Josh, is a guy who, based on his salary, could, if he goes to his ceiling, hit 7x, hit 8x, you know, versus absolutely. a guy who's going to consistently get you 4 or 5, who profiles as a cash game play.
Absolutely. Yeah. And you know, there's going to be guys, depending on the slate, that you have no choice of rostering, you know, before that are those consistent plays that aren't going to go nuts and, you know, return 40 points on a 5K salary. But, you know, before we started recording, we were talking about the Detroit Pistons. And one of those cash game stars for saving salary that I like to always use in the rare times I do play cash games is John Lure. You know, he's become the 2016, you know, favorite for cash game participants who want to save a few dollars. You know, is he going to get you under 20? Very rarely. Is he going to get you over 35, 40? Very rarely. But is he going to fall in that range of 20 to 35 points night in, night out? Yeah, you know, you can bet that that's going to most likely happen. Okay. I like John Lure for that regard. But on the other hand, you have his teammate, Marcus Morris. You know, Marcus Morris, he's the perfect anti-fragile GPP player. He's the kind of guy that's going to give you, you know, half the time 10 or 15 points, but then, you know, out of nowhere, I mean, I don't know if you want to necessarily say out of nowhere, because there are signs that you can, you know, use to anticipate this, but, you know, he has the potential to put up 40 points on a sub 5K salary. So if I'm debating on who I want to roster, and yes, they're different positions, but, you know, it is what it is. If I'm debating between John Lure and Marcus Morris, you know, I'm going Marcus Morris 9 times out of 10 on a GPP lineup simply because of his volatility.
And I think it's one of those things that's like, you know, this type of construction, it, you know, it happens to us more often than not. Like, it's very interesting. I'm mostly a cash game player, but like there are nights when I end up, you know, with low-owned players that I like for whatever reason, and they go bananas. And I, you know, you finish in, like, the top 10 in a double-up or you finish number one in a 50-50, and you have a score that when you compare it to GPP scores, that it's, you know, it would have won you a ton of money. So, you know, those ideas, like the idea of making high quality decisions, I think it's not as far off from what people are used to. You know, if even if you're a cash game player, you can make good GPP decisions, you know, good, you know, anti-fragile picks because you understand the logic behind selecting players. I think you just have to then figure out, you know, how the slate is going to unfold and where people are going to put their money. And then, as you say, zig when other people are going to zag.
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely, you know, a really sound way to approach the strategy is zig while others zag. You know, when you're constructing your lineup, you know, and if, you know, given ample time, if you can dedicate your thought process to thinking, how is the average player, how is the tip, the field going to, where are they going to be leaning in this given slate? And taking those players, putting them in a bucket and saying, I'm taking this bucket and I'm putting it off to the side. You know, I'm not going to use these players because I want to think differently. I want to zag. I want to get away from what the vast majority of the slate is leaning towards. And how do you do that? Well, go to your favorite fantasy site, you know, that offers projections, and the players that you are attracted to on first glance are likely going to be attractive players to 20,000 other people at first glance. You know, there's nothing special about you and me, Sean. You know, we are the Sean and Josh, there's duplicates of us times 10,000 playing every night on FanDuel.
Right.
You know, the vast majority of players, you know, have the same information that you and I do, have the same Twitter feeds, have the same follows on Twitter. You know, they get the same news, the same updates, the same push notifications. You know, nothing is a secret anymore in daily fantasy. You know, and the edge is simply to avoid falling into the trap of thinking like the masses on a given slate.
Right. And, you know, thinking, hey, to be clear, like if you're listening to this and you're like, oh, wait, so don't play the guys who are projected to do well. No, for cash games, you know, that is where you want to be. You want to have a rock solid number every night. You want to hit that 300 every night in cash games. And what you are counting on in cash games is that somebody is going to exceed value slightly, or in the larger, you know, population of players, other players that were popular are not going to hit value, in which case you benefit. You know, so some of these anti-fragility principles still apply to just, you know, cash games in general, but you know what, as Josh pointed out, you know, this is how you want to win first place in, you know, in a GPP. You know, if you're not trying to win first place in a GPP, then don't play a GPP. So anyway, all right, really good stuff, Josh, but let's put it to the test. Let's test it out here. Looking ahead to tomorrow's Tuesday night slate, I know you sat down, you looked it over. Who are you seeing as a quality GPP players here for Tuesday night?
I just want to start off with point guard, and I'm going to give you one guy that is probably not, you know, something that it takes a rocket scientist to figure out. And another guy who falls in the category of anti-fragile. So the first guy is John Wall. You know, that's your doesn't have to be a rocket scientist to figure out guy.
Right.
John Wall, he's playing at home tomorrow night. He loves playing at home. Great over-under at 218 facing Chicago. He's got really good upside. You know, he can score you 60, 70 points. And his price is pretty reasonable given his potential. You know, 9,500. I like John Wall at 9,500. I think he's, you know, at some point this season going to eclipse that 10K mark. He's actually more expensive on DK, believe it or not.
Huh.
So I like John Wall. I like most players, elite players, when I can get them for cheaper on FanDuel. And that's John Wall tomorrow night. So John Wall, I'm feeling good about.
Right. Kind of profiles. And in, from what it describes, as profiles is a cash game play, right? Like you feel comfortable.
Oh, yeah.
And profiles is a really good cash game play. Okay, right on. All right, talk to me. Who's your anti-fragile?
Yeah, so my anti-fragile guy for tomorrow night, he's a guy that plays on his team's second unit, and you really are with every team's second unit. And this is one guy who everyone should be familiar with that plays GPPs, and that's Malcolm Brogdon of the Milwaukee Bucks. I like Malcolm Brogdon a lot as a second point guard for your lineup tomorrow night. for one reason, he's cheap. I don't have the salary in front of me right this second, but
he's at 4,800.
Yeah, 4,800. So he's under 5K. The other thing I like about him is he has some recent success, so he's demonstrating that he can outperform his salary. That's the really key element to picking a second unit player, is he outperforming his salary. The other thing I really like about him is that he's playing against the San Antonio Spurs. Now, you might be thinking, what the hell are you talking about? The San Antonio Spurs, they're one of the better defensive teams in the league. They're one of the better teams in the league. Well, yeah, that's exactly what I'm talking about. Because of the public's bias against players facing the Spurs, his ownership is going to be depressed. So I am comfortable with anticipating him being well under 5% owned. If I can get a $4,800 player who will be well under 5% owned and has the potential to give me 25, 30 FanDuel points, you know, I'm going to jump all over that.
Right.
In fact, if you look at Brogdon, just real quick, his most recent games have looked pretty tantalizing. He had a 34-point outing against the Wizards last time out, and he had a 43-point outing against the Bulls recently. He's getting a lot of minutes, but people have yet to realize that he is a viable option in the second unit of the Milwaukee Bucks.
All right, let's go on to shooting guard. What do you see here on the shooting guard slate?
Yeah, so just continuing with the Bucks and Spurs, I you know what? I like the Greek Freak. I like Giannis and Antetokounmpo. You know, he's obviously an elite player, and I love to use elite players such as him against teams that the public perceives as great. I'm not saying that the Spurs are not a great team, but that's the anti-fragile mindset, is if you want to use an elite player, use an elite player who has a perceived bad matchup. There's no reason that Giannis can't put up 60, 70 points against any team in the league. So I'm leaning heavily towards him. Not only that, but and I don't have any numbers to back this up in front of me, but so this is anecdotal, but wings to me seem to do pretty well against the Spurs. You know, I know he runs the point sometimes, but you know, he, you know, at his heart is a wing player. So I'm thinking he could have some depressed ownership for that Spurs bias, and I feel comfortable using him in his large salary.
Nice, riding the Spurs bias, which makes sense to me. You know, I think a guy with that high of a usage rate, you know, there's no reason to fade him, especially at that price, 10-1. All right, who else on the shooting guard slate? Give me a second option here.
Yeah, so my second option, again, with the Spurs and Bucks, is Danny Green. Danny Green is $3,700. That's $200 more, as we all know, over the min sal, $3,500. So again, with this game, why do I like Danny Green? Well, first and foremost, he should see more than 25 minutes. You know, and that's what we look for with our low salary players, is are they going to get at least 25 minutes? Okay. So on top of that, you have to consider the value that he can return. All we need from Green is 25 points for 7X.
Yeah.
25 points for 7X. Okay. I mean, I'd even take 20 from him, to be honest with you. And regularly we see teams in the upper echelon of the finishing teams in a GPP with a few 20-point, 25-point players. Wouldn't you rather have a guy give you 20 points that's 3,700 than, say, a guy that's 5,700? You know, I know I would, and I think that rostering him is, you know, it's safe. It's safe, and, you know, we don't want to be too safe in GPPs, but it's nice to be safe with a $3,700 player. Opens up a lot for you. You can roster guys like John Wall and Giannis and others that I'll mention as we move forward.
All right. Good stuff. Small forward. Don't tell me we're starting Tony Snell and Kawhi Leonard here, because this is just the Milwaukee Spurs game stack is what we're doing.
Well, Sean, no Tony Snell, no Kawhi Leonard. In fact, I don't know why, but I'm not a Kawhi guy.
Really? You know, so okay, so here.
So something. I feel like every time I roster Kawhi, he gives me like 30 points, and it's really underwhelming.
You know, I talked about Kawhi a little bit on the pod today earlier. He's got a great floor, right? You know, like Kawhi is never gonna go out and, you know, put up a stinker. Like, he's always gonna put up 20, 25 points at a minimum. Great floor, but the reality is like the Spurs are so good sometimes that they don't need him to go bananas. So, like, you want to use Kawhi when a team is really going to challenge San Antonio all the way through the end. Like, I remember earlier this season, Chicago was in San Antonio, you know, and he had a difficult one-on-one matchup versus Jimmy, and it was a competitive game for four quarters, and Jimmy and Kawhi both hit value and, you know, kind of exceeded value because, you want Kawhi in a competitive game. Otherwise, he just doesn't have any reason to take over ball games. But anyway, all right, that's my Kawhi Leonard take. Moving on, your small forwards for tomorrow.
Yeah, so I'm going to start off with King James. I love LeBron tomorrow night. First of all, you got Jimmy Butler, you've got KD. You know, who are you going to pick between or among those three players? Jimmy, KD, LeBron. And I'm going with LeBron, and here's why. First of all, I think he's going to be the lowest owned, right, because of another bias. Just like the bias that the Milwaukee Bucks players are going to be receiving due to them facing the Spurs, LeBron is going to have, to some degree, a bias because he's facing the Utah Jazz. You know, LeBron is regularly well over 30%, you know, up almost 40% owned on even on large slates. You know, if I can get LeBron under 30% owned, which I think that's going to be the case tomorrow night, you know, that's what I'm going to do. You know, these days, I see LeBron, KD, and Jimmy neck and neck. So all things being equal, I'm going for the guy who has the quote-unquote worst matchup, and that's LeBron.
All right. Talk to me, small forward, too. What are you thinking?
Yeah, small forward, too. I'm going with Michael Kidd-Gilchrist, $4,800 salary. Nice thing to open up other possibilities for your lineup. He should have palatable ownership. You know, I think because of his matchup, his perceived matchup against the Houston Rockets, people are going to be on him more than they, you know, would be against, say, you know, another less known team. But here's the thing is, I don't think the public has yet to catch on with the fact that the Rockets are one of the better defensive teams in the league. Now, granted, yeah, Kidd-Gilchrist isn't a scorer. That's not his game. He's going to get you fantasy points with the peripheral stats. But the bottom line is, this is the kind of game where I think that he could do a little something. Maybe he'll cover some James Harden from time to time. He can get a few extra rebounds because the Rockets like to shoot the ball a lot from 3-point range. He can get some steals, some blocks, you know.
Right, pace up game.
Being equal, you know, I think this is one of the better games for him in a pace up matchup with the Rockets. So look for 30 points, 25 points from MKG.
Yeah, I like that call, actually. I think MKG is a solid play. All right, power forward, the dumpster fire position, the worst. Where are you at with power forward?
This position this year is just god awful. We were talking before we started recording the pod, and you know, if you exclude Anthony Davis, you know, it just seems like the only players we're ever picking over 8K, you know, are Kevin Love. Draymond Green, for whatever reason, is still over 8,000.
And then he's 7'9", Josh. He's 7'9". I think he was over 8K before the Memphis game.
Given those salaries for the power forward position, I'm going to go with a very expensive player, given the salary, and that's $6,100 Tobias Harris.
Yes.
Tobias Harris. I love Tobias Harris. Ever since he got demoted, I guess you could say, demoted
yep.
to the second unit, he's become a star. He's constantly outperforming his salary. I mean, every night outperforming his salary. He's the primary option when Van Gundy rolls out the second unit. I mean, he gets extended minutes even – you know, compared to his peers that play as, I guess, a sixth man in their second unit. But as you mentioned to me that I didn't consider before we recorded the pod is John Luehr, a favorite among cash game players. He's banged up with a knee. So it's possible that Harris could approach 35 minutes. I really like him tomorrow night. And the last thing with him is, and I want to give credit to you, Sean, is last time out, 8 points against Memphis Grizzlies.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Am I right there?
Yeah, man. But it's that bias thing. You keep raising this. This is really smart. Like, it's that bias. Game log watchers, right? And casual fans, they're looking at the game logs. They're seeing 8 points. They go, Harris, maybe. Maybe Harris is a little bit off right now.
Yeah. Yeah. So, oh, you know what? That's actually my next guy that had the 8 point recency bias.
Oh.
It's all good. Well, there's still the bias against Harris that he's in a bad role. Okay, he doesn't have a bad role.
No,
there's no bad role for him right now. He's in a great role. He's the top player on the second unit. You know, that's the thing that you have to get through your head as a tournament player with anti-fragile approach is that you need to be aware of who the top second unit players are. And, you know, use them regularly in your lineup construction. So, just to piggyback off of my little snafu there, the guy that had the 8 point stinker recently, which will lead to a lot of the field, I think, pivoting off of him, is Derek Favors.
Yes. Yeah.
Yep. So this is a guy who is currently priced at $4,500. Veteran DFS players remember him being a mainstay above 7K, occasionally getting over 8K. So if you could think back to 2015, 2014, 2013, and just try and picture in your mind the Derek Favors of old, you can then really, really feel comfortable with rostering him at any matchup when he's priced at 4,500, especially given that his minutes are ticking upward. So I'm going to get on this gravy train because he's recently been outperforming his salary and just enjoy this low price until it starts ticking upward.
Yeah.
He's got a perceived tough matchup with Cleveland. I think that a lot of opponents tend to fantasy output blossom against the Cavs. So I think right. That could be the case with Favors tomorrow night.
It, you know, and it's one of those things. Favors is one of those players. The other thing, you know, we talk about perceived, you know, you've talked to, okay, so
targeting players who have a perceived bad role because maybe they're a second unit player, perceived bad matchup because they're playing a team that, you know, maybe is, you know, high defensive rating or low pace or whatever the case may be. You know, but in one of the other trends that you're pointing out here with Favors is depressed price. Given talent, you know, when you, if you are watching, if you're playing on a daily basis and you're watching these prices go down or go up, you know that Favors can outperform 4.5. And, you know, being cognizant of, you know, where guys were priced, how they were priced at one point, and basically saying to yourself, like, he's going to get back to, you know, that mean regression, basically regression, positive regression to the mean, and being on him that night when he does. So Favors is a good call. All right, give me something at center here, Josh, and we'll wrap it up.
All right, so I just got one guy at center. One of my anti-fragile strategies before I give you this name is to try and think differently about rostering high-owned players. So earlier I recommended John Wall, and John Wall is probably going to be high-owned. He's always high-owned. When is he not high-owned?
Right.
John
right.
Wall is an amazing player, and a lot of people, you know, get a little too cute sometimes with trying to be a contrarian, and they'll pivot off of a guy who clearly has a juicy matchup with amazing talent and usage like John Wall. So how can you mitigate his high ownership? Well, what you can do is have a creative game stack. And my creative game stack is rostering him stacked with Marcin Gortat. So Marcin Gortat, not the sexiest option at center. He gets solid minutes. He has the potential to eclipse 40 points. But most nights, you know, he's not the kind of guy where people, you know, fall over themselves to research and roster. So I really like that strategy of rostering Wall and Gortat together, especially considering their matchup against Chicago is a nice one, given that the Bulls tend to struggle against bigs.
Yeah, coming off a back-to-back as well, the second leg of a back-to-back, yes. Traveling to Washington. Marcin Gortat, also the greatest nickname in the NBA currently, or at least the greatest nickname in the Eastern Conference, with the Polish Hammer.
I'm a Wizards fan, too. So I'm a little biased towards the Polish Hammer.
That's all right. Man.
But things have changed for Wizards fans these days since the days of Gilbert Arenas and bringing guns to the arena.
No. Well, but like, let's be clear, Josh. That was the golden era, right?
It was.
That Jordan's last years, Agent Zero, the late 90s, early 2000s Wizards were a very, very, a very entertaining team.
They were. They're always going to have a special place in my heart.
And they will always be remembered for their very strange looking teal jerseys.
I got one in a box somewhere in my basement.
Do you? What, is it a Jordan or is it what?
You're damn right it's a Jordan.
Yeah, it has to be a Jordan. It has to be a Jordan. Jordan.
Goodwill Golder.
Oh, my gosh. God, I wish I had a Jordan Wizards jersey. All right, man. Well, hey, good stuff. I like some of those calls. You know, there are definitely a lot. There's a lot to learn about GPP lineup building. You know, I've always learned a lot about it from you. So I appreciate you coming on and sharing some of these ideas. If people have questions for you, Josh, where can they find you on Twitter?
Yeah, so you can find me on Twitter at Josh Fern. That's at JOSHFERN. I'd love to, you know, hear anyone's suggestions, comments, thoughts, fears, whatever. So hit me up there, and I'll see if I can get back to you.
Beautiful, beautiful. All right. Well, that's going to wrap here for today. I thank you guys for tuning in to the Lineup Logic Daily Fantasy Podcast. My name is Sean Kane. If you want to find me on Twitter, you can tweet me at Hey Mr. Kane. That's HEYMRKANE. And I appreciate you guys tuning in. Don't forget to rate and review, retweet if you have the desire to. All that is really appreciated. Good luck tonight in your NBA DFS matchups.